Well, good to be with everybody today as we get ready to weather the great snowstorm of 2025. Hey, it wouldn't be January in Indiana without one, so I don't know, it kind of feels like par for the course, but I'm glad you guys are here. I want to welcome everybody across all of our locations and online. Today's message is just going to be an extremely, extremely practical message to kick off the brand new year. And at the end of today's message, we're going to take communion together across all of our locations. So just right now, I just want to encourage you to, if you don't have that already, grab a communion cup to be ready to participate with us here in just a few moments. But it's hard to believe that it's 2025. Can anybody else believe that? We are officially a quarter of a way through this century. That's one way to think about it, which makes me feel really old. And I don't know how you're feeling about a new year. I don't know if you're kind of like the bandwagon, like New Year's resolutions, goal setting, like you're super, super excited about it. Or if maybe you're a little bit cynical and you've got some doubts and you're just totally like not a New Year's resolution person. I can kind of understand that as well. But what I want to invite you into is to do a little bit of evaluation as to what we just came out of the last 12 months and then what we're kind of entering into. I typically do that between Christmas and New Year's, those 5 to 7 days. I'll just spend a little bit of time reflecting upon the previous year and then getting my heart ready for the year to come. And as I was doing that this last week, one of the things that I just really began to think through was overall, like 2024 was, I would just put that as like a really, really good year, like for me personally, but not without some adversity. And one of the things that I just was reflecting upon is that there were some high highs and there were some low lows, maybe for you too. And here's the thing that the two had in common, is that I didn't see the highs coming and I didn't necessarily anticipate the lows or didn't see them coming. In fact, there were many things that happened. I'm just like, man, those are such blessings. I don't know that I deserve it. And then there were some bad things, some really discouraging things that happened that I didn't see coming as well. Now, here's what it initially did to me, and I'm just being confessional with you, and I'm trusting that some of you will be able to relate to me. Because of that, I found myself kind of gingerly inching into this year. Like, well, you know, if that was true in the past 12 months, and actually that was true in 2023 and 2022 and 2021, that probably in 2025, there's going to be some unexpected blessings, some high highs, and some unexpected challenges, some low lows. And so I found myself kind of like posturing, like almost like trying to like figure out how can I enter into the year to try to maximize the good and minimize the bad so I can net an overall good year at the end of the year. And really what that spelling is control, if I'm being honest, and a lack of trust in the sovereignty of God. Because there isn't anything that really, like, there's so many circumstances that are outside of our control, both the good and the bad. And really what I want to do is, I don't want to try to live my life in the absence of adversity. I want to try to live my life so that I can face adversity well. And so I want to be like sure-footed and recognize that good or bad, whatever may come, I'm going to trust like the sovereignty of God in that. And it's an unfortunate truth, but it is true, that when I look back at my life, the times when I've grown the most spiritually and emotionally, and even in other ways, like physically, has been through adversity, not around it. Amen. And so actually adversity, when you're sure-footed, can become a blessing. And so what I want to encourage you with is just simply these truths right here, is that God wants you to meditate, Satan wants you to ruminate. So God wants you to meditate on what it is that you've been through and kind of where things are headed, and Satan wants you to ruminate. Well, what's the difference between the two? Well, one keeps you spinning on circumstances you can't change. And the other one gets you reminded of the truths of God's word and an unchanging God. One turns the attention upon you, the other turns the attention upon the only one ultimately powerful and sovereign enough to bring about real change. So at the beginning of a brand new year, let these words of St. Augustine encourage you. I love how he writes this. He says, trust the past to God's mercy, because you can't do anything to change it now. It's in the past. Trust the present to God's love. That the present moment that you are in, be fully present in that moment and recognize the gift that it is, that it's God's mercy and love and grace upon you. And then trust the future to God's providence. And when it comes to the primary things that matter the most in your life and in my life, I would just kind of narrow it down to these four buckets. If you're taking notes, you can jot these things down. Your spiritual growth, like your walk with God, that should be the most important thing. Number two, your relationships. Everything that would fit into that category. Dating, marriage, kids, family, coworkers, your community. Number three, your physical and emotional health. Those are important things because we are holistic beings. And number four, your financial health, because as scripture says, that wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow. Those four things. When it comes to spiritual growth, relationships, physical and emotional health, and your finances. Now, I think that for many of us, if we're being honest in those four categories, we would say that too many times our strategy has been these two little words right here behind me. I hope. Like, I hope I grow closer to God this year. Don't know if I will, but I hope. You know, it's like, I hope my marriage gets stronger. I hope I find and meet the right one. I hope my connection to my kids gets better. I hope I'll be in better shape physically, emotionally, financially. But what I want to just gently point out is that the words I want and I hope aren't effective strategies. It's a good place to start, but it's not an effective strategy that'll sustain you through the year, especially when adversity comes. Now think about it for, we already know this. Like just think about it for a minute. We don't train one time and go out and run a marathon, at least most of us. Like we don't just save a little bit from one paycheck and expect like to retire after that. We know both of those things require consistent behavior over time. I think this is what Paul's driving at when he's mentoring a young Timothy. And he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Going into 2025, that's how I want you to think about your spiritual formation, which is just a fancy term for growing to look more and more like Jesus. Listen, your salvation is not based upon your works. It's based upon the finished work of Jesus. However, your formation, that is based upon your works. So we're saved by grace through faith, but then training for godliness means that we've got to put in some effort. And Paul is saying that we don't just like automatically become godly. We have to train for it. C.S. Lewis would say it this way in the Screwtape Letters. He says, the more often one feels without acting. In other words, I've got the motivation, but I never apply what I know. That's what he's saying. So I got feeling without action. The less one will ever be able to act, and in the long run, the less one will be able to feel. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, if you never apply what it is you know, you'll eventually lose the motivation to grow. So you got to begin to take what you know. This is what I want to encourage you with not only today's message, but every message in 2025, is that I don't expect that all 40 minutes will apply to you equally every single week. It doesn't need to. You would just walk away from the message and go, what's the one thing God wants me to know? And what's the one thing God wants me to do? And I'm telling you that if you will try to pinpoint what it is that God wants you to know and what it is he wants you to do, and if you would do it that week, then you're training in godliness. Lewis would say this in another book of his, it's lesser known, God in the Dock. He would say, we all want progress, but progress means getting nearer to the place where you want to be. And if you have taken a wrong turning, then to go forward does not get you any nearer. If you are on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. I think it was Albert Einstein who said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's essentially what Lewis is saying there. He's like, listen, man, if you're not getting to the place where you want to be in your relationship with Jesus, you got to ask yourself, okay, maybe I don't need to keep going down the same road. I actually need to do an about turn and take a different path. And that's literally what this 8-week series is about, that we're kicking off a brand new year, is that I don't want us to be a people that are trying to insulate ourselves from adversity, because adversity is going to come. I want us to be the kind of people that develop a godly resilience in the face of adversity. Amen. That we would develop kind of this, could I kind of coin this term, like a spiritual grit. That I'm going to be sure-footed even in the face of adversity and whatever may come. And so our message series that we're kicking off today, it's going to be an 8-week series. It's based off a single verse in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, where the Old Testament prophet Isaiah says these really powerful words. He says, and I think he was doing a little bit of meditation of his own. He goes, because the sovereign Lord, that word sovereign just means he is in control, he helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have, here it is, set my face like flint. Flint is another word for stone. It means that I'm fixed. I'm not going to be like blown around by the waves of change. My eyes are fixed upon becoming more and more like Christ. And I know that all that effort, I will not be put to shame. And that's what this 8-week series is all about. And actually, what I want you to know is I've laid out all the message series for 2025. And the way I lay out a message series is kind of like a menu. Like, what does our church body need what nutrients do we need to kind of carry us through? And really, kind of the mega theme for 2025 is preparing us to follow God wherever he may lead. And if you've been in our church over the last year, you've heard me talk about this a lot, about like the Great Awakenings and the Fifth Great Awakening. You know, it could happen this year because every 50 years is when God has sparked one. And that would be 2025. And we don't speculate that God might do that. We do anticipate it. And we anticipate, God, would you please bring revival? And would you please bring awakening? And it could happen. It seems like things are kind of getting set up where that could happen. What I want you to know is that if that does happen, we can expect resistance because the enemy isn't just going to roll over. And so if God is going to bring revival and if he is going to bring awakening, then that means like right now, you need to get your feet set. Right now, you need to recognize that there's going to be resistance. There's going to be battle, and I want to prepare you for the battle that I know you're already facing. Isn't it at times, it feels like life is just a battle? Like, or is it just me? You guys are kind of doing like the 8 o'clock. You're just kind of looking at me, all right? So I think that 17-degree weather has gotten into your soul, all right? So I just need to kind of warm you up here, all right? Don't leave me alone up here. I think at times it feels like we're all in a battle. You ever feel like you're fighting for your marriage? Like just tooth and nail. Like, you ever feel like you're fighting for your kids? Ever feel like you're just fighting for your own emotional health and sanity? You're fighting for your relationship with God? It's because you are. You're in a spiritual battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness in the evil realm. And I want you to, the worst than actually being in a battle is being in a battle and you don't know it. And I want you to actually know it, and I want you to be sure-footed, and I want your faces to be fixed like flint, that we are going to be a people that don't try to dodge adversity, but we try to live well in the face of adversity. And so this 8-week series is really about moving. I want to move you and me from I hope to I declare. I declare. This is going to be the kind of person that I'm going to be in 2025. Good or bad, blessings or curses, like I declare, this is the kind of person I'm going to be. And so I just want to kind of tease out like where we're headed just the first 4 weeks of this 8-week series. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about today in just a minute. Next week, we're going to talk about facing temptation. And so it's like we're going to be a people that are going to fight temptation, not give into it. The week after that, I want to be the kind of person that handles criticism well. Hello. Like, I think all of us need that, right? Like, how do we handle criticism in good and godly ways? And then the week after that, we're going to talk about, like, how do we move on from refusing to stay offended? Being offended is a fact of life. Staying offended is a choice. And some of us have chosen to stay offended. And so that's just the next few weeks. We're going to have so much fun. Today, here's where we're going. I want to talk about consistency today. That I want to be the kind of person that is consistent. And if I were to identify some of the primary things that have kept me from becoming who God has ordained me to be and from doing what God plans for me to be, a lack of consistency would likely be the culprit. Like, honestly, it's... At times, like, I'm not sharing with you brand new information. I'm just trying to remind you of information that you already know. You just need to apply consistently. because a lot of our lives are filled with lots of stops and starts. So if you've ever been stuck, which we all have, if you've ever hit a wall, which we all have, if you've ever thought, you know, why am I not where I am in life that I thought I would be by the age of 20, by the age of 30, by the age of 40, and so on, likely it was a lack of consistency. It's not that you didn't know what to do. You knew what to do. You just weren't doing it consistently. That was likely the culprit. And listen, man, that is true in all four areas of that I just mentioned. That is certainly true in our spiritual walk, but it's also true in our relationships, our physical and emotional health, and in our finances. Inconsistency is one of the greatest detriments to transformation and change in those four categories. When I was in college, I remember reading this book by Eugene Peterson, and if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because he was the one who did the Message paraphrase. And a lesser-known book of his, which was highly influential in my formative years, was this book behind me. It was titled, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Doesn't that just sound so inspiring? Like, we don't want to hear that, do we? We want to hear, like, a short obedience, you know, in whatever direction I want to go. That's kind of what we want to hear. And honestly, like, my spiritual growth would not be described at times or seasons of my life when it has not been a long obedience in the same direction. If I'm being honest, it's been a momentary obedience when I felt like it in all sorts of directions. And then I go, like, why am I not changing? And I love the subtitle of the book. It's Discipleship in an Instant Society, which means that your discipleship, which is, once again, that's just a fancy word for looking more and more like Jesus in your life, it cannot be microwaved. It doesn't happen with one sermon. It doesn't happen with just attending church one time. It doesn't happen with just going through Rooted one time. It doesn't happen. You cannot microwave it. It's more like a crock pot. And it's developed over time, and unfortunately, through adversity, not around it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 talks about being patient in endurance. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, let these words encourage you. It says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. And I would say that for a lot of us in the church in the West, this explains why there's no power. It's because we're living kind of divided lives between God and the world. It's like sort of like a syncretism. We've got one foot in and one foot out. And so because of that, we're not tapping into the help, that's the word for the Holy Spirit, helper, that we all need. And we end up foregoing the power that God has made available to us. And we often just think, you know, man, change needs to come in one big decision. You know, let me get like a running start and I'm gonna jump into change. And if we don't see it, then we get frustrated. So if change doesn't happen in one crucial conversation, if change doesn't take place in one counseling appointment, if change doesn't take place in one investment, one act of generosity, one killer vacation with the fam where I connect with my kids, instead of like consistent daily conversation, maybe just one church service, one sermon series, one prayer, if the change that I'm looking for doesn't happen, then we maybe assume all kinds of things. Well, it didn't work, God doesn't care, I must have done something wrong, or our favorite option, we just blame other people. And we're oftentimes missing this equation right here. Take a picture with this with your phone, write it down. I think this is such a crucial thing for us to remember. Consistent, that means regular and daily. Actionable, I can see it, I can measure it. Behaviors, right? That's more than good feelings and intentions, and this is really key. Over time, I'm not gonna give up. Even when it gets hard, even when resistance comes, even when I lose my motivation, I'm not gonna give up. Now, it may not look real pretty today, but I'm gonna keep moving forward. That equals real change. Amen. And oftentimes, we are inconsistent. There's nothing like really actionable. It's just kind of ethereal. It's just kind of like emotional. And there's no, it never gets translated into behavior, and we don't give it enough time, and we don't experience the transformation that Jesus died for us to have. Amen. In James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, so you see, faith by itself, it isn't enough. Until it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Really what we're after here is transformation. That's what we're after. And transformation happens when I do consistently what I used to do occasionally. And that's true in relationships, finances, health, and with God. And all sorts of things sabotage this, don't they? Paul writes these really familiar words in Romans chapter 7. And I think that they're familiar, not only because maybe we've heard it, because it's a pretty familiar passage. But when we read this, Paul's really sharing with us like the human experience that all of us can relate to. And listen to these words as he writes to me, because I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. How many of you can relate to that one sentence right there? It's like, man, I want to do what is right. I think most of us do, but that doesn't mean that we do it. Instead, I do what I hate, which then just leads to all sorts of shame. Verse 16, but if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. In other words, that means that the Spirit of God is living within you, pricking your heart, convicting you of sin. That's a good thing. Verse 17, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it, and I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. How many of you, that would explain yesterday? It's just like, man, he just kind of like boiled it down into one sentence. Just kind of explains my whole life experience. And so there's so many things that can sabotage our transformation. And it can feel like a daunting task. What I want to do in just the remainder of our time is break it down and make it as simple and practical as possible. I don't want to confuse you to the point where you don't have to apply anything I say. I just want to make it simple and practical. So let me give you four things. Number one, I want you to recognize that small things done consistently outweigh big things done occasionally. I think oftentimes we're like waiting for the mountaintop experience. We'll go to the conference. We'll take the mission trip. We're looking for that one big, huge. And listen, God moves in those ways. But more often than not, God's going to work in the small daily things that you do consistently. And eventually, it's kind of like, you know, eating an elephant, one bite at a time. It's going to outweigh the big things that you do occasionally. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, don't despise small beginnings. So that's how I want you to think about character development. I want you to think of it like, sort of like physical training. Spiritual formation and physical training are very, very similar. I think that's why Paul uses that term with Timothy. Training for godliness. Now, here's the thing. You know, I don't know if any of you are you know, members of a gym or anything like that, but traditionally, gyms are like packed in January, aren't they? And then by February, they're like ghost towns. And because what ends up happening is that we end up running at that thing, and how many of you have ever done like one big, huge, massive workout? And then you go home and you're like, you know, it's like, I don't see any change. But no, what do you get? You're just likely so sore you can't move. And then you don't go back. Or maybe you get injured and then it sidelines you. And instead of starting small and consistent and recognizing that when you do something consistently and small, it's gonna outweigh the thing that you did all at once. That's why, can I just encourage you, beginning of the year with daily Bible reading. I know it sounds like such a small thing. I don't know how many of you have tried to read the Bible all the way through. Maybe you tried to do a Bible reading plan, and then you got somewhere in the land of Leviticus, and you just like waved the white flag. You're just like, oh man, I just can't. Or you know, life started to get crazy, and kids got sick, and you're trying, and all of a sudden you just realize you let one day slip, and two, and three, and four, and all of a sudden, like you're off the plan. And I totally get all that. I want to give you lots and lots of grace. You should give yourself grace because really what this is about, here's how I want you to think about it. Daily Bible reading is recognizing that I got all kinds of inputs coming into my mind all day long, and I want to take 10 minutes to listen to the one voice who truly matters. And so when I read the Bible, it's not about like trying to plow through massive chunks of scripture. It's about trying to get through it little by little by little. And stopping and asking myself, God, what are you saying to me right now? Like, just read one verse and go, God, what are you saying to me? What am I going to do with it? I'm going to apply it today. Man, you do that every day, and I promise you that by the end of 2025, you will see significant transformation and change in your life. I want to invite you to read the Bible with me. 7 days ago, I started this Bible reading plan called the Bible Recap. I know many of you are on it. Many numbers of you have reached out to me, DM me about it. Many of you finished it last year and you're starting over. You can download the YouVersion Bible app, find Bible reading plans, find the Bible Recap. It's a chronological, meaning you start in Genesis and Job, like it goes oldest to newest, and you just read through the Bible. It takes you about 10 minutes a day, and then there's a 5-minute devotional that explains what you just read and something you can apply. And go ahead and find me on YouVersion Bible app and friend me, and we'll read the Bible together this year. And I promise you, if you can stick it out this year, you'll change. Now here's one more thing that I'll promise you, is that at some point, you're gonna wake up and your day's just gonna be crazy and you're gonna miss your Bible reading. And that's okay. You miss one day, just don't miss two. Oh man, but I missed two. That's fine. Just don't miss three. And you go back and you get caught up. And here's what I love about it. When you get done reading, it gives you this gratifying check mark. It's like, it's like so amazing. All right, so I want to encourage you to read the Bible with me. So start small things done consistently outweigh big things done occasionally. Number two, don't give up when things aren't changing as fast as you thought that they would. Man, don't give up, man. Like you can, a long obedience in the same direction. Maybe some of you have seen this graph before. I think this is really helpful. You've got results on one side, like these are the things that you want to see happen spiritually, relationally, physically, emotionally, financially. Like here's the results I want to see. And then there's the time that is required to actually see those things happen. And then the dotted line is our expectations. Like this is what I hope will happen. And isn't it just amazing? Like we all want up and to the right hockey stick growth, don't we? Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Typically, this is how it works. We see this, we call this January and February. That's what we call that little line, the valley of frustration. And you start in, and actually at times kind of feels like you've gone in reverse a little bit. Like, man, I'm putting forth all this effort, and it doesn't feel like I'm getting the results. But what happens is you stick with it, and then eventually the growth comes in dramatic ways. That's not just the wisdom of man. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. When Paul says this, let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if what? Say it out loud with me. We don't give up. Man, sometimes that's all you need to hear, man. Just don't give up. Compound interest isn't just a thing that happens to your 401k. Compound interest is also something that happens to you spiritually and emotionally and relationally. And by the way, resistance is often a key indicator that you're headed in the right direction. Amen. So you just keep going. Number three, enjoy the growth process over just the outcomes. Here's what I mean by this. You got to develop a process that you enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, you won't stick with it. It's kind of like this. How many of you have ever been asked like, hey, what's the best diet to go on? I don't know, the one you'll stick with. What's the best Bible reading plan to do? I don't know, the one that you'll actually do. That's the best one. So instead of just being so goal-oriented, because here's the deal, like once you, let's just say you set a goal to lose 50 pounds. Well, then once you hit it, then what's your motivation? Or let's just say you stop short of it, you only lose 45. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm a failure. No, instead say, you know what? I'm going to develop kind of a lifestyle of health. And the same thing would be true spiritually, where you're saying, you know what? I'm going to develop, implement these spiritual practices where I actually enjoy the presence of the Lord more so than what I might get out of him. And then when I begin to develop these rhythms, when adversity comes and challenge comes, I've actually been building and developing these spiritual muscles all along. I'm ready to face the challenge. Daniel shows this to us. In the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel's in Babylon. The administrators of King Darius are really threatened by him, and they realize that they can't catch him in any sort of ethical or moral thing. In verse 4, it says, when the administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, in other words, the way he was doing his job, they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Man, by the way, may that be said of us. Christians in the marketplace, like you're doing your job so well that even if people are coming against you, they can't find anything to criticize and condemn because of the way that you're working. Amen. It says he was faithful, he was always responsible, he was completely trustworthy. That is a picture of consistency. So they knew that they weren't going to discredit him that way. So what they did was they pushed through a law that made it illegal for anybody to pray to anyone but King Darius. And knowing that, they knew that Daniel wouldn't do that. And so Daniel, things are about to get real complicated for him. But I love what it says in verse 10. Daniel went home and prayed three times a day, just as he had always done. In other words, he had developed the rhythms so that way when adversity came, he just continued to go through these daily rhythms and he was ready for it. And that's how I want you to think about the spiritual rhythms in your own life. You know, the most common analogy to your growth as a Christ follower is not a run, it's not a sprint, it's not a flight. It's a walk. It's one of the first things that we learn to do as little humans. Now, I remember, you know, coaching my kids to walk to me across the living room floor, and they wobbled and it didn't look pretty and they fell. And that's what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. He's just encouraging you to take some wobbly steps. And you start right where you are. And you develop a process that you'll enjoy so that it's sustainable, recognizing that really the ultimate goal is not to get things from God, but it's to look more like God. Amen. James Clear says in his book, Atomic Habits, new goals don't deliver new results, new lifestyles do. And a lifestyle is a process, not an outcome. For this reason, all of your energy should go into building better habits, not chasing better results. And I don't know that he meant that in the spiritual realm, but it applies. So could I just encourage you with a few? I've already encouraged you with Bible reading. Can I encourage you with three more? Is that okay? Actually, I don't care if it's okay. I'm going to give it to you anyway. All right, so here's the thing, is that you've heard me talk about this when it comes to our expectations. We call this battleship mentality. There's five of them. I just want to give you three. And the first is come ready, come ready. And by the way, it's the first Sunday of 2025. Snowstorms are coming. You're here. Give yourself a gold star. All right, that's amazing. All right, so you come ready. What this means is regular physical, that's key, church attendance, not just online. All right, so what I mean by that, the book of Hebrews talks about this. It says, hey, let us not give up meeting together. And they didn't have online then, so it definitely meant physical. As some are in the what? Habit. And so that's why it ends up happening. Your kids get in sports, you miss church, it becomes a habit. You miss one Sunday because you were tired or a snowstorm's coming, it becomes a habit. And it's easier to miss two, it's easier to miss three. Now listen, hear me in this. Your church attendance is not tied to your salvation. You don't get into heaven because you got gold stars in your attendance chart. But your sanctification and formation is definitely dependent upon you being here. And what does that mean? Well, that means that it's no longer about you anymore. It's not just about what you can consume. It's not just about what you can experience. And don't get me wrong. I want you to receive something. I want you to be, I'm going to work as hard as I can to prepare a message from God's word every single week that'll give nutrients. It won't just like, I'm not always just going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to know from God's word so that you can grow. But it's not just about you. And actually, your physical presence here impacts other people's lives in ways that you will never know. And you just can't do that online. Now, online has its place. Online is the front door to our church. Online is a great supplement if you're sick, if you're traveling, if you just, for whatever reason, physically can't get here. It is not a great substitute. And so, man, if you are in a location where you can get to a good Bible teaching, Jesus-centered church, this is a supplement, not your replacement. If you're close to one of our campuses, man, I want to encourage you to attend. Now, you know, here's the deal. The average committed Christian, statistically, this isn't true for our church. But the average committed Christian, statistically, in America today, says that they are in church 1.2 times a month. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at on that spectrum, you just say, you know what? 2025 is the year that changes. I'm going to come as ready as I can, as consistently as I can. I'm going to model that for my kids and family. Number two, this one will go much faster. Find a place to serve. We call that man your station. So you just come and you make a difference serving in some capacity. And here's the goal. You show up to church every week saying not how can I be blessed, but how can I bless someone else? And I promise you, when that mindset gets shifted, that the Holy Spirit will begin to do dramatically powerful things in your life. And then the last thing is find your crew. Get in a group. It can't just be a big setting like this. It's a smaller group. For some of you, maybe your action step is to sign up for Rooted. Actually, the closing date is today. We only have a few more spots left. We'd love for you to sign up to Rooted and start the new year off in a 10-week small group called Rooted. We want you to be in a group. Man, if you could just do those four things, read your Bible daily, attend church more regularly, serve more faithfully, and find a small group, and you did it consistently all year long instead of lots of fits and stops, I promise you, you will experience some sort of change and transformation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, set like flint. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You might wonder, am I making a difference? Am I experiencing change? But God promises you right there, all of it is an investment into your growth and into eternity. Last thing that I'll give you right here is don't try to be perfect, just be consistent. Man, don't try to be perfect, just be consistent. And that is really challenging for all of our perfectionists in the room. And it's really challenging for those of you like me who fear failure. I fear failure, and failure can keep me paralyzed. And here's why. I don't want to do something unless I can be good at it. Any of you like me? Yeah. That's why I don't play golf. So it's like, because the only way to get good is to do it, but I'm gonna have to do it really poorly in order to get good. And some of us, that's true when it comes to our spiritual growth as well. And I'm just telling you right now, like, we've gotta learn to take a hit. I was watching a documentary on Joe Montana over Christmas break, kind of random, but it just came across my Netflix. And, you know, go to Notre Dame, right? Joe Montana was talking about how the difference between getting sacked when he could see the linebacker coming and when he couldn't. And he said, always, whenever I couldn't see the linebacker coming, it was way worse. That's when I was prone to injury. That's when I was so tempted to stay down. But when I could see the linebacker coming, I could brace for the hit. I would say the same thing is true spiritually, emotionally, relationally. I tell you, going into 2025, you're gonna take a hit. We've gotta learn to be people that can take a hit so that way we can get back up. And consistency is not perfection. Remember, this is a long obedience in the same direction. And God is so merciful. He is so good. Even if 2024 was one of the most challenging years of your life, one of the things that we still need to recognize is that even in the midst of adversity, we can still praise God and say, God, thank you so much because I am the recipient of your mercy and grace. And regardless of where you stand with God today, whether you have given your life to Jesus or not, I want you to recognize, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, you are the recipient of God's general grace. What does that mean? Well, it means you were born and you didn't have anything to do with it. It means your heart is beating in your chest right now and you're not commanding it to. That's all God's. And the result of God's general grace should be a humility and a gratitude that leads you to his saving grace. And that's what he's beckoning you to. And that's really what all this is about. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord and 1,000 years is like a day. So what we think is a long obedience in the same direction, God's like, no, just a day. The Lord isn't slow about keeping his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but everyone to repent. One of Satan's greatest tools against you is temptation. And we'll talk about that next week. And all of us are susceptible to temptation and all of us are gonna fall. But once you fall, he goes to the ground game of ground and pound, of accusation and shame. And if he can erode your consistency in following Jesus in a long obedience in the same direction through whatever strategies, temptation, failure, shame, accusation, then he knows he can get you to give up and to short circuit your spiritual growth. The antidote to all of that is confession and repentance. Amen. confessing to God for the forgiveness of sins. That's what puts you right with him. And then confessing to others for the sake of you and the relationship's health so you can heal. So maybe today as we start a brand new year, we would just develop that practice of confession and repentance and to say we are going to be a people that are set like flint, have a resolve to follow God, a long obedience in the same direction, recognizing that it is our job to employ these consistent, actionable behaviors. It's God's job and God's job alone to bring about the results. Amen. And it might come immediately and it might come a long time from now, but you keep going. I remember years ago reading about Chinese bamboo trees. It's kind of a slow week. And I don't know if any of you have ever done much reading on Chinese bamboo trees, but if you haven't, I guess apparently what happens is you plant the seed just like a normal tree, and then like nothing happens. And we're not talking about like a couple weeks or a few months. We're talking about like years. Like the Chinese bamboo tree doesn't start growing until year 5. And actually, within 6 weeks at year 5, the Chinese bamboo tree grows like 90 feet tall. I was thinking about that this last week. I was thinking about, you know, could you imagine what that experience would have been like for the first Chinese bamboo tree farmer, if there was such a thing? Like he hears about this new thing, he puts his business plan together, gets a loan from the bank, tells his wife, get ready to live on Easy Street, we're gonna make so much money. He goes and he plants all these Chinese bamboo tree seeds. I don't know if this was a thing, I'm just imagining. And he comes home and she's like, how's it going? And he's like, well, I'm not really seeing much activity. Gets to the end of the first year, she asks, hey, can I go look at our investment? Well, honey, there's really not much to look at. It's still just a dirt field. Gets to the end of year 2, year 3, year 4, starts to create real tension between them to the point where I wonder if even she was starting to get a little bit cynical. He would come home at night and she'd be, hey, how was your day being an imaginary Chinese bamboo tree farmer? But then year 5 happens. And within 6 weeks, you see 90 feet of growth. Can I just say right now that that might explain what's going on in your life? Maybe your marriage is hanging on by a thread and man, you've given everything that you have and you're just seeing very little change, maybe no change at all. Can I just say, man, you just keep going. And when it comes to like your emotional health, your spiritual growth, your financial, all those things that we just talked about, and you're so ready to throw in the towel, can I just pastorally encourage you not to, but to continue to just keep going, consistent, actionable behaviors over time, trusting in the real change that could come. So right now, what I want us to do as a church family is to go to the foot of the cross and let's take communion together. I want to invite those of you, even if you're not part of our church fam, if you've given your life to Jesus to participate with us, if you're not, then that's totally okay. You can just spend these few moments to just reflect upon what you just heard and maybe make a decision that'll change your life forever. But if you've got the communion cup ready, this is the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples just before his crucifixion. And he took some bread and he broke it and said, this bread represents my body that was broken for you. So when you take it, do this in remembrance of me. Let's do that now. Then Jesus took some wine and he poured it out. He said, this wine represents my blood that was shed for you on a cross, because the Old Testament talked about how there needed to be the blood of a spotless lamb that would cover over the guilt of our sins. And Jesus did that once and for all. So let's take the juice together. Lord God, thank you for being a God who is not slow, but patient. You've given us another year to work on our spiritual formation, to grow more and more, to look like the image and likeness of Jesus in our lives. In the words of John the Baptist, less of me and more of you until it is Christ alone. And so, Father, as we head into this year, we know there's so many unknowns. What we can be confident about is that there'll be both blessings and challenges. There'll be both highs and lows. That there will be things that will propel us forward and things that might set us back. And regardless of what may come, we set our faces like flint, focused on you and you alone. And would you ready our feet to be a people that don't just try to dodge adversity, but to live through adversity really well. And that starts by consistent, regular, actionable behaviors every single day over a period of time, trusting the results to you. Would you ready our hearts? Would you come, Lord Jesus? Would you please do a great awakening and a revival in our midst? And we want to be a people that are ready for it. And so right now, we are so grateful for your general grace and your saving grace. And we desire to be a people that live for you in the face of whatever may come. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.